Okay. Hello. Okay, welcome. So we are going to get started from the top of Lama Test Amud Beis at the two dots. So we're going to go from the two dots to the top of this Amud to the two dots at the top of, or a little bit further down the next Amud. And we're going to discuss a few interesting topics and a few interesting things to add to the Gemara, which we will share together tonight. So Itmar is where we're going to start, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down from the top. Itmar. Lama Test. 39b. Okay. So the Gemara says, Itmar, heviu lefanav, they brought in front of a person to eat, pitin v'shleimen, pieces of bread and whole rolls of bread, or loaves of bread. So now the question is, what should he make the birchas hamotzi on? That's the question. Which should he choose to make the birchas hamotzi on? The choices are he has pieces of bread, and he has, or slices, called slices of bread, and whole rolls. Those are the two things he has. Okay, that would be the obvious choice, but the case is going to be a little more complicated because the pieces, what if I told you in this case, the pieces are large. The slices are nice and large slices, and the rolls are little small rolls. So which would seem to be the bigger thing? So the question is, is it the wholeness, or is it the largeness?
Shleimus.
Or the kamus? That's the question. So it's a machlokas, as everything is. So Amar Rav Huna says, Mivarech al hapitin, petitin upoter es hashleimim. He makes the bracha on the larger slices, and that will exempt what he'll eat afterwards, which is the roll. By the way, this is specifically talking about a case where you're going to eat both. If you only, you don't have to search out the whole, like if you have like, you just want sliced bread to make a sandwich, you don't have to search out some whole roll that you have and just eat it for the sake of getting the wholeness. You can eat your sliced bread, that's all you are intending to eat. However, if you have a roll and you're going to make a sandwich out of it, the ideal situation is to wash while your roll is whole, take a piece of it while it's whole, then slice it, and then make your sandwich. That would be the, again, if we're talking about a situation where you're going to work and the sandwich is made in the morning or the previous day, don't get in your wife, especially if your wife's making it, don't start telling her, you know, let her do her thing and you make your bracha later.
What is the Shabbos? Does that totally change it?
So Shabbos, we're going to get into the Gemara. We're going to get into Shabbos.
They say, mevarech al hapetitin, which means you took the bread and you take it into small pieces.
Correct, yes.
So you mevarech al hapetitin, not on a
big non-whole, because the case we're talking about specifically is where the petitin are larger in the roll. They're large slices. They're large pieces. And the roll is small. The roll is small.
That's not from the language of the Gemara.
But that is from the law, because otherwise that would be illogical. Right?
Yes. It wouldn't
make any sense.
All right.
Okay. Now Rashi explains this. Rashi himself, we're not going to be inside, but Rashi himself explains that's the exact case we're talking about, because otherwise there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
You definitely should make the bracha on the larger one if it's also the whole roll. Okay, good. That's the first opinion. So largeness or Hamut, larger is lower than Shlema, the wholeness. Okay. The Rav Yochan Amar Shlema, you should make the bracha according to Rav Yochan on that which is whole, mitzvah min hamukhar. That really shows that's the proper way to do the mitzvah of the birchat hamazon, on that which is whole. Do you know which way we follow? We follow the halacha that we make the bracha on that which is whole. Even though this is debated, we follow it, means that therefore, if you have two different pieces of bread, one is the whole roll, one is a slice, and you're going to eat both, so make the bracha on that which is whole. Okay. Aval prusa shel chitin, v'shleima shel sorim. Now wait a second, what if I have a slice, but the slice of bread is made out of wheat bread, and the roll is made out of barley bread, barley grain, barley flour. So the halach, here the case is zivri hakol, everyone would agree that the more chashev, the more important piece is the prusa, the slice, which is made of wheat, because wheat is food of man. Barley is food of animals. So, for example, we have in the time of the Beis Mikdash, they brought the Korban HaOmer, which was the Korban brought on the second day of Pesach, which was to matzah al chadash, all the new grain. That Korban was considered, it was made of barley, and we were, because coming out of Mitzrayim, we are on the lower level. When after 49 days of growing in all the Sirus Omer, and we get to Shavuot, on Shavuot we bring the Kor Shtei HaLechem, Shtehalechem korban is wheat bread, wheat challah, and also chametz, and that's also unique about it. But they are made of wheat because we are now at a higher level. We're now eating ma'achal adam, ma'achal of a person. So the more chashuv piece is going to be the one which is wheat, not the one which is made of barley.
It's also appears in the Torah, Eretz Hita Usora.
Yeah, so that is true also. So it's true that we do follow, yeah. So in terms of brachos, that pasuk does dictate the sequence and order of brachos, that you do make a bracha, generally speaking, on first, if you have multiple items, that which is first earlier, appears earlier in the pasuk. Yeah, that is correct. Okay. So Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba says that this debate should be Kitanai, it's a Machlokes Tanaim. What's a Machlokes Tanaim? Whether or not we should follow the wholeness of something, what is more chashuv, that which is whole, complete, that is shalem, or do we follow that which is larger? That debate, which we just talked about in terms of making a bracha on the bread, is also, he wants to say, the machlokas in another scenario. And that is as follows. Tormim, by truma, right, so you have a bunch of vegetables in front of you, and you're going to take truma from them and give it to the kohen. So, again, now what should you choose if you have options? So the Gemara here says the mission. Sorry, this is Tanai is a mission Trumos. So Tormin Batzel Gadol Shalem. Batzel Katan Shalem. It's better, according to the first opinion, to take and give Truma to the Kohen from one Batzel, one onion, which is small but whole, but complete, the whole. Avalo Chatzi Batzel Gadol. But don't give them half of an onion that's whole. Of that slice in half. Don't get a half of a large slice on it because it's not whole, it's not complete. You get both options. Now, when it comes to truma, remember truma doesn't have a specified amount. We know in general we said the mission says that someone who's the average person gives 2% of his product, 2% is given to the kohen. If you're a little bit nicer, you get 3%. If you're a little miser, you get 1%. But truth is, even the most minute, smallest amount can fulfill your obligation in terms of truma, giving what you have to give to the kohen. There's no specific amount. So we're not, the issue here is not about whether your onion is the right size of the quantity you have to give to the kohen, because technically any quantity will be fine. The question here only is whether or not you're going to choose an onion that has to be cut in half, but larger, than your other option, which is an onion which is whole, which is shalim. Okay, so that's the question. So the machlok is the first opinion here, says, Tormin batzel katan shalim av lo chati batzel gadol, better to use the whole one, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo ki ella chatzi batzel gadol. It's better to give to the kohen the larger half slice because it's a larger quantity, it's a nicer amount to give to the kohen. So it seemed to be that this is the exact same machlokes. My law, but how can this be? This is what they're arguing about. Zimar savar chashiv adif. The one who says you should give the whole but smaller onion says that which is whole and complete is more chashiv. It's more important, more complete. That way, also we would say the same thing by the bread. You have two pieces of bread in front of you. One is a whole roll, one is a slice. The slice is bigger, but the roll is complete. There to make the bracha on that which is complete. Umar savar shalim. Oh, I have it backwards, sorry. Chashuv means the larger one is more significant. Okay, so that which is chashuv is larger. It's a more chashuv gift. Because if you're giving a larger gift to the kohen, it is more substantial. That would be the opinion we said of Rabbi Yehuda, who says you give the half larger onion. Umar Sovereign, the other opinion, holds Shalim Adif, the completeness of something, the shlemus of something is more important. Therefore, make the bracha on the whole roll, make and give the kohen the smaller but complete onion. The Gemara says, wait a second, that's not necessarily the same achokas, because that case is a different scenario, that case of the truma. Everyone agrees. Now, if a kohen is standing right here in front of us, he's here waiting at your vegetable patch when you're collecting and harvesting your vegetables. He's there waiting. It's definitely, everyone would agree, it's nicer to give the kohen the larger gift. Even though it's half, but it's a larger gift. We've already said that it's nicer to give the kohen a nicer and larger gift. He doesn't care that's half or whole. It doesn't matter. But he likes the quantity. He's very happy with that. The size is bigger. The question they ask is, Kiplige, this machlokas only is in the following case. Delake a coin. There's no coin here. You're going to separate your truma, and you'll give it to him whenever you find the coin. But for now, there's no coin standing here. And in that case, that's when they're arguing. So the Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Kol Makom Sheish Kohen, where there is a Kohen present, Torim in the Yafa, you definitely give him the larger, nicer amount, the larger amount, whether or not it's whole or cut. The Kol Makom Sheish Kohen, and anytime there's no Kohen present, Torim in HaMishkayim. The first opinion this Mishnah says you should give a coin that which will last. And you know, an onion which is whole will last longer than if it's cut.
Yep.
So therefore, if you have to wait around so you find the Kohen, it's better to hold aside for him, like keep it on the side, the one that's whole, even if it's a smaller gift. It just logically makes sense. But you understand you're compromising on the quality of the gift, on the quantity of the gift. And Rav Yehuda, says, Ein Torah Melamina Yafa. Rav Yehuda says, no, even in this case, you should give and set aside to the Kohen the larger amount, even if it's not whole, even if it's cut. Because once again, what we care about for Truma is the quantity. The wholeness doesn't matter if it's a smaller amount. It's not still substantial enough for the Kohen. But in our case, when it comes to the case of the bread, a whole piece of bread making a bracha, now which is complete, you would say, even if you say, even the opinion that says you give to the Kohen the larger cut onion, here might say, well, when it comes to bread, of making a bracha, the whole roll will be more substantial, more valuable. Okay, so that's, we tried to say there was a machlokas here by our bread that was the same by Truma. We end up saying, no, Truma is different. Truma, everyone agrees you should give the larger gift to the Kohen. That's more important, unless the coin's not available. And then the question is, do we compromise on quantity for something that will last, for something that will be preserved until the coin shows up? Okay, so the Gemara continues and says, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzhak, the Yari Shemayim Yotze Yedei Shnehem. And someone who's the Yari Shemayim, oh, it's actually refers to, the person is called Yari Shemayim. He fulfilled both opinions, meaning he wanted to make the bracha, he has in front of him a slice and a roll. So this person, he's going to figure out how to do both. What's he going to do? Meaning one opinion says, do make the bracha on the whole. One opinion says, make the bracha on the slice. So how can we fulfill both opinions? So Mano, who is this person? Mar Brei Deravina. The Mar Brei Deravina, what would he do? Maniach Prusa B'Toch Shlema. Rashi says B'Toch means Tachat, underneath. You take the slice and put it underneath the whole. So you're holding the whole piece of bread on top and the slice underneath. And when you make the bracha, so I'm looking at it, I'm seeing, okay, it's holding a whole roll. That's the one on top. But when you cut, you're cutting even, it looks like maybe I'm cutting the one underneath as well. So there's the appearance of making the bracha on both by holding both at the same time. It includes both in that bracha that you're going to make. Tani Tana Kamei de Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Maniach Prusa B'Toch Shlema, you put the slice under that which is whole. Ubotzea Umevarach, you slice. Remember we talked about you make a little nick, you make a little cut in the bread, and then Mevarach, you make your bracha. Okay, so Amr Lei, so this Rav Nachman Yitzchak was taught this halacha in front of Tana. One of the students was announcing this halacha in front of him. So he said to him, this Rav Nachman Yitzchak said to this person teaching the halacha, what mashimecha? What is your name? So Amr Lei, Salman. My name is Salman. Amr Lei, Shalomata, Ushlema Mishnatecha. You are peaceful and you're learning is complete. Shesamta shalom bein atamidim, because you made peace between the different rabbis, because there were different opinions about what to do. Should I make my bracha on the whole? Should I make my bracha on the slice? And through this innovation of holding them both together, you're teaching us the halacha, they're able to fulfill both opinions. That's shalom. Okay. Amar Papa. This is now getting to some of the questions that were brought about Shabbos and what about Pesach. So Amar Papa, Hakom Odin the Pesach. Pesach is a very unique situation, right? This case always comes up. We have a whole matzah and we have a part of a matzah. So everyone agrees. The Papa says everyone agrees that when it comes to Pesach, you put your half matzah under the whole matzah, and you are boteh. You make the bracha and the mitzvah matzah on both, on those two, not just only on the slice. So my time, but what's the reason why though that we have to include? Everyone says you have to include the half pizza matzah, the broken matzah. Why is that? Because it says in the pasuk, lechem oniksiv, poor man's bread. The way of a poor man is to have a slice, not to have a whole loaf. And therefore, everyone agrees on Pesach, you have to include the broken matzah when you make the bracha of hamotzi matzah. Okay, you have to go ahead and include the broken matzah with your whole. Now, I don't know if people do here, but there's a machlokas between the Rishonim and also some practice, I think it's farther than Ashkenazim also, between whether or not, how many matzahs do you pick up? What's the process? So I just said, according to your puppet, the simple reading of this Gemara, when you make your bracha on Pesach, you're going to pick up one whole matzah and the broken matzah. Remember, we have three matzahs in front of us. The middle one is broken, so now we have two and a half. So according to this Gemara, the way it's simple reading, it sounds like you pick up the top one plus the half underneath, and you make your bracha. That is the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam. You're just making a bracha on one and a half. The Rush says, what happened to Lecha Mishnah, which we're about to talk about in a second? What happened to Lecha Mishnah? It's Yontif. You always have two loaves of bread or two whole pieces. Are we compromising on that? So the Rush says, you know what you got to do? You should pick up all of them, okay, all three, and then you make Hamotzi. That's your Lecha Mishnah, the two whole ones. Drop one, and then say Motzi Matzah. Then you just make the bracha on the matzah, Achias Matzah, and just that alone. So that is the way in which you fulfill both obligations. You have your Lechem Mishnah, that's your two whole ones, and you also are acting in accordance as a Lechem Oni by making the bracha on the matzah on the broken piece. Now, the question is, what is the Rif and the Rambam, what do the Rif and Rambam do with the fact that we normally require Lechem Mishnah? Are they just ignoring that halacha? So the question is, when we act as an ani, a poor person on Pesach, and we're going to compromise to say, well, we're going to, ani normally has half a slice, does that mean that we don't need Lecha Mishnah? Are we ignoring it? Or perhaps, according to the Rif and the Rambam, what it means is that we ourselves are an ani on Pesach. And for us, this is a Lecha Mishnah. Meaning, normally, a Lecha Mishnah has to be a complete whole piece. But for if you're a poor person, that is your normal full meal. That is your normal piece. And therefore, an ani on Pesach, and all of us, is able to hold a whole matzah and a half, and it counts as Lecha Mishnah. So you don't need to have two shlemos. You can have one shalem and one broken, and that, in fact, fulfills Lecha Mishnah. So both agree you need Lecha Mishnah. The only argue about is the requirements of Lecha Mishnah redefined on Pesach for us who are ourselves aniyim, right? Rambam says you have to yourself view as if you came out of the tribe, you were an ani. Or is it a separate requirement and Lecha Mishnah is not compromised? It needs to have two full pieces like the Rush, which is the way the Ashkenazim follow, that we hold the pick up all three together, and then you drop one and make your Alchas Matzah on the second, on the one and a half. Okay, let's continue. So the Gemara says, Amir of Yaba, the Shabbos, on Shabbos, Chayvad L'Vosea al Shneki Karos. You have to, on Shabbos, always use two loaves of bread whenever you're going ahead and you're having the bracha of Hamotzi at your meal. My Taima, Lechem Mishnah Ksiv, because it says in the Torah regarding the man, which they collected on Erev Shabbos, it says on Erev Shabbos, every day they collected one portion, and on Erev Shabbos they collected a double portion, one portion for the day, and then one portion for Shabbos next day when the man would not fall. So since it was a double portion, we include that idea in our bread and our table, which in many ways resembles the man, in different ways in the way it was covered. We covered the man, the explanation is that had a layer of dew that fell underneath it to protect it from the ground, and then the man fell afterwards, and then another layer of dew on top, so had a covering on the bottom, covering on top. We do the same thing with our challahs and Shabbos. We have the challah board underneath, we have the challah cover on top, and the challahs underneath, they again, because they represent the man, and therefore they also have to be double. So everyone agrees you have to have these two pieces which are whole on Shabbos. Lechem Mishnah Ksiv. Okay. So now, what would you do with this Lecha Mishnah? So Amar Rav Ashi, Chazina Leila Rav Kana, Dinaket Tarti Batei Chada. I saw Rav Kana, you know what he would do? He took two challahs, and he cut one. Now, sometimes we cut the one on top, sometimes we cut the one on the bottom. Friday night, we cut the one on the bottom. Shabbos morning, we cut the one on top. Yontif, we cut the one on top. It has to do with Kabbalistic ideas about the Shabbos having different feminine and male aspects to it. And that is the reason why in Friday nights, which is the Shabbos Kalah, the Ba, we say that aspect of Shabbos, it's the one on the bottom, and the Shabbos day is the male component or the male aspect of Shabbos, and that is the Kalah on the top. So that's how he would go ahead, and he cut his Kalah, one. Rabbi Zera then says, Havi Botia Akula Shirusa. Rabbi Zera would cut, okay, the whole portion. Now this word is debated in the Rishon about what this means. And it's important because we do follow this. So Rashi explains that Rav Zera would do was he would cut a very large piece off of the bread, not a little piece, a normal size piece that it would be sufficient for himself at the end. He cut a very large piece, large enough l'chol shirusa for the whole meal, meaning not just for the amount I'm eating now, but the amount of bread I might consume throughout the whole meal. That's how big he cut. Now the Gemara says, the Amr le'Ravina le'Ravashi, the hakam is chazi karavanusa, cutting this large piece of bread looks ravenous. It looks like you are someone who's gluttonous.
Oh.
Right? So
voracious.
Voracious. Okay, that's the better word. So Amr le'i, kevan d'chol yomo lo ka'avid hachi, since you never normally cut this way, Rav Zera never normally cuts this large pieces of bread, v'ha'idna, and on Shabbos, specifically ka'avid, l'mis ka'avid ka'avidusa, shows that he's mechavid the Shabbos. Not that he's specifically a ravenous person, but he normally never does that. The other translation of this, of what he would do, was that Rav Zera would cut through both challahs, not through just one. He started with one, but it would cut through both. And that is another custom of some people have, to cut through both challahs, the top and the bottom, because of this idea of Rav Zera, that he would cut through both. Again, why was that? As an Aretz Shabbos. I'm not just limiting myself to one roll. I'm offering the whole, everything, all the bread in front of me to my guests, everything there.
Before he made the bracha.
And he would do this.
Before he made the bracha?
No. He made the bracha. He's cutting the bread to eat. Not the nick. This is not the nick. This is the cut of the bread after the bracha. This is supposed to do afterwards. Yeah. So everyone cuts one challah. Some people have the tradition to cut both challahs, cut right through both, based on this tradition of Rabbi Zera. Okay. And in general, a lot of people also have the custom to cut a nice sizable slice. Don't cut the little tip at the end, but cut a nice size slice. Okay. So Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi Kiavi, Mr. Ami Luhu Rifta de Eruva. So Rabbi Ami, when they came to them, Rashi says it's after Shabbos, which is what we're talking about. They've got the bread of the Eruv. What are we referring to? So when the person has multiple courtyards that he wants to access on Shabbos. So there's a Gzeres Rabban, you're not allowed to walk, even though they're private domains. You can't go walk from one private domain to someone else's private domain on Shabbos. Instead, we require somehow merging all of our private space together through an Erev Chaseros. We do this nowadays. The way in which we walk through a whole city is we rent the streets, we rent everything from the mayor of the town, and we then have from all the non-Jews, we rent their spaces, the public spaces. And from all the Jews, we go ahead to combine our Shabbos spaces together. How do we do that? By saying we're all going to join together to have a portion in the meal together. And everyone has access to it. Everyone has equal ownership in it. And we're going to put it in one spot that's accessible to everyone. That's when we call there's the Eruv. So the Eruv we usually refer to as referring to the wires that go around. That's not the Eruv, technically. The Eruv itself is actually the bread, and there's an amount of how much it has to be, that is kept over Shabbos as symbolically our united meal. And therefore, it is our united space. We're all together, and therefore sharing our space on Shabbos, which allows us to access each other's private domains.
So where is that?
Okay, yeah. So I don't know where it is in Boca. If anyone knows, I'd love to know.
Where's
the bread, you know? Oh, okay. Okay, it's usually matzahs, because you don't have to replace it every week. You can keep the same matzahs. In Miami Beach, I remember growing up.
Well,
they bring it to Shabbos too. It's the last Shabbos at the end of the
year. Yes, everyone has that tradition. On Pesach. So in Miami Beach growing up, it was actually in a glass box on top of the Shul Aruch Chaim in Miami Beach. And I remember when you walked into Shul, you saw this box, actually it was wrapped in cellophane. It was in the box. You could actually see the Eruv. It was up. I'm sure it was a plaque, sponsored by. But it was everyone's matzahs.
Because they're supposed to be, you try to keep it fresh.
Yeah, you have to keep it fresh. You can't be, which is why they use matzahs, because otherwise, if it was bread, you'd have to remember to replace it every week. This way, you only replace it once a year, because matzahs can last a very long time. Which is why the matzah companies start to have to print the year on their matzah boxes, because otherwise, some charlatan get away with like selling 2 years ago matzahs as this year's matzahs. They didn't like that, so. And the tradition, which you're describing, which is to go ahead and to take the Eruv on Pesach and use it for Shalosh Shus, is what they would do here as well. Very similar idea. They went ahead and they took this bread of the Eruv, the Rista de Eruva, and the Varchele HaMotzi Lachmeretz, and they made a bracha of Motzi Lachmeretz on that, meaning They had different breads available in front of them, but they chose to make the bracha of Hamotzi on that bread, which is the bread of the Erev. That way, Hoel Vis Avid Be Mitzvah Chada, Na Avid Be Mitzvah Achrisay. Since you did one mitzvah, you might as well use it to make another mitzvah. Now, we have a number of different, we have a number of different examples of this in our lives and during the year where we take one mitzvah and we try and use it for another mitzvah. Anyone think of any? So we take a mitzvah and we want to take that same item and use it for a second, another mitzvah.
Killing two birds in one stone.
Well, no, we're kind of. Okay. The cup from Shashas for Abdallah, okay. So, discussion is total.
Well, was that Abdallah?
Okay, well.
What's the other?
Yes, what do you do with the lulav?
At the end of Sukkot, and we leave it around.
Four. Good, excellent. So you're into Bira Chametz. The lulav is kept. The Arba Minim are kept, and they're put on top of the Aron.
Yeah.
And you let it dry out, and eventually you use it. You're supposed to bring it to Bira Chametz. Or
a lulav.
Okay, what do you do with the chametz? Okay, again. No. You use it as fuel to burn the chametz. Use it as fuel. Another thing they say about the lulav is to use it to burn, to put in the oven to bake the masses. Another thing they use. Anyone else? For the hadassim. Estrog, or I was going to use estrog for a different example. Hold on. Yes. So they use estrogim. They often grind it into jams or vodkas to make brachas on the estrog. Now you have fish. Some people use it for besamim. Some people use the hadassim, right? As they include some of the dried hadassim leaves or the stems, and they include that in their besamim. Also, once again, to take one mitzvah and include it into another one. Another one. Anyone know what to do with tzitzis after your tzitzis after every other month where my kids destroy a pair of tzitzis? What are you supposed to do with your tzitzis string? You can use it as a bookmark. Some people have a tradition. Yeah. Now, there's a debate, whether you're allowed throughout the tzitzit strings after they're all messed up, like in the Mechobetic way, or they have to be buried. So one option that people like to use it for another mitzvah is to take the strings, and it works as a perfect bookmark. So that is another way to take one mitzvah and use it for another. Okay. I think we got through a lot. Okay, excellent. So we have a lot of different examples of this principle, which is, again, the source of it is in our Gemara. When it comes to the Erev Masses, which we do here in the show, we use it for Shalshus on Pesach. The same thing you would try, again, use it to Shabbos Chol Moed Pesach. They do it before? How can you do it before Pesach? It's Masah. You can't eat Masah for Pesach.
Before Purim.
Oh, they don't do it. They don't. Oh, okay. No. Growing up in Maya Beach, we ate it Shabbos Chol Moed Pesach. They took the matzahs down from the. There's a whole discussion when you can take them down. Whether it was after Shabbos, on Shabbos, right? Can you? What happens if the Erev gets eaten on Shabbos? Does that mean like you lost your Erev?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to be careful with that. All right, let's continue. So on the top of Mem Amud Aleph. So Amar Rav. Rav said, Tol Baruch, Ein Sarach Levarech. If a person washed Til Sedayim and made the bracha and then said to his, he's at a nice table like this, cuts the bread, here, take the blessed bread. Before he eats, he makes the bracha and I'm cutting it saying, here, take. Is that a hefsek? So Rav says, nope, that's not a hefsek. Now, in general, doing...
Are you referring to the zibor or is referring to
the speech? Yes, the speech. So the Gemara has, Rashi quotes this Gemara, I'm just going to quote
the person who
we're talking about the person who's the boseya, the person who's making the balabais, the one who's making the bracha, makes the bracha, cuts the piece and says, Daniel, take of the blessed bread before I eat. I say that. So Rav is saying, I don't have to make another bracha. This is not a heftik. This is what I just did, not heftik. Now, this concept of speaking before you, between your bracha and the action, comes up with tefillin. We have our tefillin shel yad, and the gemara and tefillin shel rosh. And the gemara says that if you speak between your tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, then you have to make another bracha, a second bracha. Now, that's the tradition of the Sfaradim, right? You make one bracha on the tefillin shel yad, and it counts for the tefillin shel rosh. The Ashkenazi custom is that you make a bracha on your tefillin shel yad, and you make a second bracha on your tefillin shel rosh. That, for the Sfaradim, is only if they spoke. between the two. The Ashkenazim apparently can't have concentrations. We always make two brachas. And we say a brach shenkva machus lam ba'ed because maybe they're right. Exactly. Maybe they're right. We try, maybe they're right. That gemara is there's other gemaras that prove the other way, the Ashkenazi custom. But again, the reason I want to mention is Rashi. Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother level. So the idea is that speaking between your bracha and performing the mitzvah is normally a hefsek. So Rashi explains that why is this different? Because hachticha, this speaking of giving out the bread, saying, hey, take a piece, is litzorech the bracha, is for the purpose. Why are we making this bracha? I'm being motzi, if I'm not being motzi, I can't offer you bread. We're talking about a situation where I'm being motzi a lot of people at my table. My bracha is going to all of them, and I'm telling them, take what I just made a bracha for you. That's getting your attention. That's something that's part of the, again, it's not always necessary because if you're paying attention and you're ready, I don't have to say it. We're not saying that you are, just to be clear, you're not saying you're supposed to say this. You're not saying that you have to say this. You're saying that if you did, hey, like, snap out of it, take the bread, that would be not a hesek. Another case, we're going to push a little further. I'm Rav Yochan. I feel, have you melach, have you this time? Come ahead, go ahead and bring the salt, bring the spices. You don't have to have something to that also is, according to Rav Yochan, not a hefsek. And the third case, gevil latore. I need you to go ahead and knead the bran that's made for the animals. He made a bracha, and he says, what? I didn't feed the animals yet. Go ahead and knead the bran for the animals. That too is not hefsek. Why? The Gemara explains. The Amr of Yehuda Amarav, Asr la'adam she'achal kolim she yitain ma'achal levehem aso. A person is not allowed to eat until he gives food to his animals. Shana Mark, it says in the Pasuk, Nasati esa besadcha leventacha, I've given the grass and the vegetation and the field to your animals. And then later it says, v'achal to besadcha, that you yourself, man, is going to eat. So before you eat yourself,
there is the Havat. First they say, the first one says,
I skipped the line. So, Gvilatari, the first opinion is that that is considered a hefsek. Rav Sheshet Amar, Afilo Gvilatari is also Nami Ein Tzarach Levarach, is not a hefsek. Based on the idea that a person should first feed his animals before he eats himself. Now, this is, I guess, relevant to people who have pets. So, does this apply to, presumably it applies to your dog? Your cat? Does it apply to your goldfish? Does it apply to your goldfish? If you feed your goldfish, you feed. So the question is, maybe it only is about your sensitivity to the animal seeing that you're eating, and it's sitting there looking up and wondering when it's going to eat, as opposed to your goldfish are completely oblivious to your meal. Okay, so maybe it doesn't count for goldfish. isn't there a commercial about that where the fish sees through the fishbowl and it wants to get, so... That would be the thing. Yeah.
What does it have to do with the bracha? You have to feed them
so
before you
did
the bracha.
So since it's a critical component of your eating is feeding your animal, it's not a hefsek to tell people, and also it seems from here, that it's just starting the process or it's setting up the situation. So if your dog is in the other place and someone else is in charge of feeding them that day, so it's taken care of, meaning you need it doesn't mean that you've actually fed your animal, but you've taken care of the process. Are they set? Do they have the bran ready? Is the dog food ready to go? Yes, okay, then you can eat. You got to make sure you have to have that sensitivity that those who are dependent upon you also have their sustenance before you take care of your own. Right? We say the same thing. By a person has a slave. He has to feed a slave before he feeds himself.
What's the halacha? Seems like that.
This is halacha.
All of these you're supposed to do it beforehand, take care of it before you start eating. But assuming you made the bracha and then you realize, shoot, I didn't feed the dog, then you should say, Maria, feed the dog. You're allowed
and
to
then
do
you
really
can eat.
Do it beforehand.
You
should have. That's the halacha today.
This is the halacha today. They do say, what about drinking?
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to feed them before.
Can you drink liquid? We said you can't eat. Can you drink before you feed your animals? So they bring a proof from Eliezer and Rivka. By the well, Eliezer's there with the camels. And she says, Ashteh, you drink first, Eliezer, and then I'm going to give your camels to drink. Wait a second. Doesn't she know the halacha is you're supposed to feed the animals before the person? The end must be that drinking is not so important, and therefore, in terms of drinking, you don't have to check to see if your animal has the bowl of water is full. That's okay. That's okay. All right, let's go a little bit further. It's two more minutes. Amar, because it connects to what we just said. Amar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chia. Eina Boter Rashai Levto Ache Yaviu Melach O Lifton Lifnei Kol Achav Yachad. A person should not make the bracha until everyone has the salt or the spices in front of him, in order to they can dip it their bread in the spices or the salt.
Solve the problem.
So you have to have it available for everyone. So Rava Bar Shmuel Iklu Ladei Rish Galusa. Rav Shmuel came to the Rish Galusa. Fikulei Rifta. They brought him some bread. Ubata. And he, lehedja, he cut and ate the bread right away without waiting for salt and the spices. So, Amrlei Hadar Mar Mishmaisei, did you, like, change your mind? You just told us, Eina Boter Hashai, you're not allowed to go ahead, right? You know, you're not allowed to go ahead and to, you know, eat the bread until you have the spices ready, the salt ready to go. So, Amrlehu, he said to him, Leistein Sarach B'shash, this bread doesn't require waiting. The Reish Galusa's bread is such good quality, such good flavor. It has everything in it. It doesn't need any salt. So if you want to go ahead this Shabbos and compliment your wife or your Baal Bas, whoever is giving you the bread at Shabbos table, take a piece of bread, take a bite, and then say, Leis Dein Sarach B'shash. This bread, B'shash. B'shash. Boshesh. Boshesh Lavo. Boshesh Lavo. Ah, Kotanach. So Boshesh means to delay, tarry. This bread does not need to delay. Oh. We don't need to wait for the salt in order to eat this bread. Now the question is, Tosos says, Va'anu, in the middle of the Tosos, on the top of the page, he says, Va'anu, we don't normally bring, our bread is of great quality. We don't normally need to bring salt and stuff to the table for our bread because we have it already in our bread. And our bread's not coarse and plain. It's got lots of egg and it's got sometimes sugar and it's got salt or it's a quality product.
Well, good enough.
What? Sometimes honey and sometimes it's got chocolate, yeah. A lot of chocolate, and cinnamon.
You still need salt.
So, Rav Tosa says, why? We don't need to do that. Because, he says, like we just ran the Gemara, Leis Dein Sarach B'shash. Our types of bread, we do not require it. It's not required to dip in the salt first. Now, Rabbi Menachem, Hayim Medatik Ma'od Lahavi Melech HaShulchan. Rabbi Menachem, he said, actually had the tradition that even nowadays, we would make sure to have salt at the table, even though our bread does not need salt to taste good, to taste flavorful, meaning to taste, be tasty. It wasn't dry and had lots of flavor. But he still wanted to make sure he had salt at the table. For what reason? Because when we go ahead and we wash, everyone sits down. So for a lot of us, we always joke around as parents, like, okay, let's delay this as long as possible. The kids are quiet. No chatter. The house is it's like peaceful. There's no lashon hara being said. There's no yelling and screaming. It's like the best quiet moment. Everyone's like, okay, let's keep this dragons out. On the other hand, Rav Nachman said, wait a second. This is the one moment where the Sutton can come and say, there's no Torah here being said. There's no quality discussion. Nothing. This is the time he's going to go ahead and to Kosh Baruch Hu and to try and get us in trouble. So that's why he wanted to put out the salt, because the salt represents the Brit Melach. And the Brit Melach is going to the covenant of the salt, which is connected to the Kohanim, connected to the Malchus Beis David, that it's mentioned in the Psukim about the Brit Melach. And that covenant of salt is something which will be our redeeming or factor from Hashem. Another reason that they quote is that our tables are like a mizbeach. And the mizbeach and the salt, every korban has to be brought with salt to Hashem. So when we eat, when we have the kakush right now, okay, we have the kakush right now, we're not eating on Shabbos tables just because we're gluttonous and we want to eat, but we eat because we want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to serve Hashem. And in order to do that, so that's the purpose of our mizbeach. I mean, the same way the mizbeach was sacrificing, serving, giving of us towards Hashem, so too when we eat, it's simply an opportunity to elevate ourselves, give ourselves the energy, or create an environment where we can have a spiritual, exciting, and elevating meal on Shabbos. And that's why at our Shabbos, you'll make sure to have salt, like every other korban we would bring in the base of Mikdash, would require to have salt as well. So those are the reasons, and the end of the Zamad. Okay, Shkoyach. So we stopped at the two dots where it says, Leisein Sarach B'shash.
Okay. There's also a Kabbalistic thing, that's good.